The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is the key.
Welcome everyone to Sando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Your host David Rand, aka Dave from LA. Just want to thank you all for listening. Hey, I was catching Scotty's show, and man, I love this. Scotty, absolutely right. Statistics is nothing more than propaganda that's put out for an agenda to keep us outside of who we really are. You know, statistics. One of the things, statistics is like voting. You don't really get to authenticate the whole process of it all. So, yeah, I don't believe those statistics one bit. You know, all of the friends that I have, and I didn't mean to jump into this, but it's so important that we talk about some of the things that are going on. All the friends that I have, they are all the male friends that I have, except for maybe a couple. And I say a couple, I mean maybe two or three at the most. And I can't even think of the third one, and I'm having a hard time thinking of the second one, but I know there is one. All of the friends that I have, and I have many, 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 many friends, all of them are great, great fathers, dedicated fathers. You know, they're dedicated regardless of their relationship with the children's mother. They respect the mother and respect the relationship that they had in actually conceiving the child, and they are great, great fathers. So those statistics, I just caught the tail part of it all. Those statistics don't mean anything to me because I know they're just like the voting booth. They're filled with lies. So I'm glad that Scotty had that conversation. But, hey, today is Tuesday, November the 3rd, 2015. We've got a live show for you today. Just want to thank you all for listening and checking us out. Hey, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network, because it's so important that we do. We don't want to lose the network. We want the network to grow, and we want you to grow along with it, and everyone that you know needs to grow along with it, because these are very, very peculiar and strange times that we're living in that need your full support. Also, go to Tando Radio Show on Facebook and check out some of the things that we posted there. I didn't get to post a lot of things today still. Still, you know, in the midst of this whole move and everything else, which is a pain in the butt. So, shoring everything up until I actually make the move, where I'm going to be kind of pressed for time, coming down to the final couple of hours. So, didn't get to post a lot today. Didn't get to check up on a lot today. But we have a live show for you today. Yesterday we played a very, very important video. Was one of the longer ones that we've ever played, and we got another one today that's pretty long, but they go hand in hand, and it's so important that we understand what is going on. When you talk about our health, we don't need health care, we need health cure. I'm going to tell you the best way to cure the diseases that we have, especially the man-made diseases, is by the herb that the great creator God Almighty has made. So we need to become more self-sustaining and self-sufficient and relying upon the ecosystem that is there for us. Everything that we need is right here. You know, for every disease that man create, God has created a herb to cure it. And we need to move into those areas without the synthetic nature of that. So, you know, yesterday's pharmaceutical and health industries video was huge, and today's is they go together, is just as big, and I think it's even bigger, because you eat every day. Some of you may not be on any form of pharmaceutical, but, you know, the food that we're eating is going to drive you towards the pharmaceutical and towards Big Pharma. And this is what we really need to really know and talk about and understand what it is that's really going on around us, so that we can make the decisions that put us in the position of advantage and will best serve us as individuals, as a community, and as a people as whole. So it's so, so important that we look at our food. Our food is one of the most important things, food and water, okay? So there's a lot of things going on with the food. You know, I remember when I was growing up, you could go into the grocery store and you can actually smell the fresh fruit that was there. You can't smell anything in these places because they're not real. They're totally GMO'd, genetically modified organisms. They're not real at all. And you hear us always say, you cannot put a synthetic drug or food in a all-natural body. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You will start to become more synthetic. And guess what? That's the whole agenda that's at hand here by the controlling factors that wage a war against us daily. But the more that we know, the better position that we can have. And I'm going to say, you know, before you even start a war, you better make sure that you've won it before you've engaged in that war. And this is one of the things that we really, really need to look at is what are we putting into our bodies? What are we giving our children? What are we giving our loved ones? What are we giving ourselves? And what is it that is causing all of the diseases and conditions and that we have today? And I would say it starts within our food and our water. So we need to definitely know what it is, and then now we can make the necessary changes and corrections that's so needed. I believe that we all need to start to have a garden. It's so, so important that we all become our own food source in our own market. It's so, so important that we do that because that's where the health starts and that's where it really ends, within our food and our water. So, hey, want to get into this video. It's really, really good. It's called The Seeds of Death. Has a lot of information, pretty much like yesterday's video. And there's some things that you really can learn here. And I'm going to post this inside of Tando Radio Show so you can check it out. You know, this is going to, you know, I picked these two videos because they're real, real important. They are kind of long, but they're just too important. You know, you can't cut these down. It's so important that you listen to the whole thing and so that you can start to ask the appropriate questions. Everyone that's listening to Tando Radio Show now, listening to Black Talk Radio Network, you need to become your own food. You need to prepare your own food. You need to be your own supermarket. You need to be the provider so that you know where the food is coming from, what's been used to grow it, and if it's a real, actual apple, peach, whatever it is, cherry, plum, or is it a synthetic one? Get rid of the synthetic ones. And, you know, you don't want anything with no seeds. Something with no seeds, it's fake. Totally, totally fake. So, hey, let's get into this video, and then we'll come back and talk about what it is that we learned here, and then we're going to put this all together the rest of this week. And we're going to start to put an action plan into place for everyone when it comes to pharmaceuticals and for our food. We need to actually cure and heal our bodies from the medicine cabinet that the great creator has made for us all. That being the heirlooms and the non-GMOs and non-hybrid gardens of the world. This is what we need to replant all over. So we're getting ready to go through this video. When we come back, we'll talk about it. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. Let's run the video.
Genetic engineering is a process where scientists take genes from one species and force it into the DNA of other species.
Every single independent study conducted on the impact of genetically modified food shows that it damages organs, it causes infertility, it causes immune system failure, it causes holes in the GI tract, it causes multiple organ system failure.
The whole concept of genetically modified organisms is throwing a monkey wrench in the life on this planet.
What if we could produce more yield on the same amount of land? squeeze more water from a single raindrop, conserve natural resources while caring for the environment.
Monsanto is the company that told us that PCBs were safe. They told us that Agent Orange was safe. They told us that DDT was safe. And now they're in charge of telling us if their own genetically modified foods are safe.
The reason why we have 170 million acres of genetically engineered corn and soybeans and cotton and canola oil and sugar beets in the United States is because it doesn't have to be labeled.
The first genetically modified animal, a salmon, may soon be approved for human consumption.
Both these fish are 18 months old, but the larger genetically engineered Aqua Advantage salmon grows twice as fast as the regular salmon.
There has not been sufficient animal health testing, human health testing, or environmental impact testing of these new transgenic fish.
Basically, they've taken agriculture and built an industrial model which doesn't fit nature. So instead of changing their agricultural model to accommodate what is natural, they're changing nature to accommodate the industrial model. If you have an organic corn crop that sits next to a genetically engineered corn field, and it happens to tassel at the same time, and it happens to be downwind, you're going to get your crop contaminated.
The rest of the food supply is contaminated. Then the genie is out of the bottle, and it's maybe physically impossible to turn the situation around.
In the genetic engineering revolution, these seeds are now patented property of one corporation called Monsanto.
The pharmaceutical industry has no interest in having you well because they don't make any money if you're well. And the pharmaceutical industry is the biotech industry.
Some people think that GMO really means God move over.
We are heading downhill at a rapid rate of speed toward our own extinction.
The use of GM in agriculture is a risk that is simply not worth taking.
Any scientist that looks into the research or the lack of research on the safety of genetically engineered food comes to the conclusion that these foods should not be on the market. They need another decade or two of research.
Monsanto is the company that told us that PCBs were safe. They were convicted of actually poisoning people in their town next to the PCB factory and fined $700 million. They told us that Agent Orange was safe. They told us that DDT was safe. And now they're in charge of telling us if their own genetically modified foods are safe. Because the FDA doesn't require a single safety study, they leave it to Monsanto.
I know Monsanto, as one of the officials of the organization said, we're here to make money. And that's not just Monsanto, that's a lot of food industries. Their job is to make money for the investor. Unfortunately, that becomes the highest priority thought in their minds. Make money, make money, make money. They're not actually making products to make health. They're making money. And so they tend to overlook the health consequences. I think that is a ridiculous sort of approach to the problem. There should be some responsibility being assumed by the producer that when they're producing food, they have a reasonably good assurance that it's a good quality product. That should be the highest priority thing. And then if they can make money with that, fine and dandy. But unfortunately, it's usually the other way around. People in this sort of business are looking for opportunities to make money first priority. And then in this case, maybe letting somebody else worry about the health consequences, maybe even the public. And I think we have it upside down. That is simply upside down.
Why did the FDA abdicate their responsibility to protect us? The White House had instructed the FDA to promote biotechnology under the first Bush administration. And so the FDA created a new position for Michael Taylor, Monsanto's former attorney. So Michael Taylor was in charge of policy at the FDA when this GMO policy was created, and then he became Monsanto's vice president, and under the Obama administration was put back in the FDA as the U.S. food safety czar. In reality, the overwhelming consensus among the scientists at the FDA were not only that GMOs were different, but that they were inherently dangerous, that they might create allergies, toxins, new diseases, and nutritional problems. They had urged their superiors to require long-term study, and when they saw drafts of the policy coming back to them, they were angry and urged their political appointees to change course. But Michael Taylor and the political appointees ignored the science, ignored the scientists, denied the existence of their concerns, and set forth a policy that allowed GMOs to be put on the market in a way that creates unprecedented risk for human beings and the environment.
The FDA is composed of smart people, but they're smart people with a conflict of interest. They're smart people who make their decisions based on what will support their financial needs or their academic needs, not what makes scientific sense.
What you can do with GMOs is basically engineer food in ways that make it most profitable from the company's perspective. But from the company's perspective, whatever negative aspects of that might exist are simply irrelevant. And more than being irrelevant, the company is motivated to try to suppress knowledge about those negative aspects. The company is motivated to try to suppress government attempts to regulate in relation to those negative aspects. The company is motivated to try to infiltrate government and lobby government. I mean, when you look at the Clinton administration, Bush Sr., Bush Jr., and Obama, you look at various high-ranking positions in the administrations of all of those presidents, you find people who have worked for Monsanto.
Most people don't realize that Monsanto has been around for about a century. They've acquired lots of resources, and they are very clever and sophisticated. They know how the game works. They understand lobbying. They understand bribery. They have been effective at essentially stacking the political structure, the federal regulatory agencies, in their favor, to the point that it's almost physically impossible to pass any type of federal regulations or legislation because the people who make those choices have been in the revolving door of Monsanto. They either previously worked for them or they're paid consultants for them.
The governments now, wherever they are dependent on corporations. Who are these governments? Who are these companies, corporations, telling people what to do, what to eat, what to feed their children? We are people. We're the children of God. We have constitutions. We have our constitutional rights to eat and feed our families that nature produces. They say, no, we don't have that right. In fact, we're going to force that on you.
It's the FDA and the USDA who helped lead the charge for these new food safety bills. There's nothing in those bills to protect you. It's there to protect the genetic engineering industry. And unfortunately, if we don't stop this, you won't see organic farmers. The laws in the bills currently are so strict, so arbitrary, that if you are a small organic farmer, you can't meet their requirements for safety. As a result, you'll go out of business.
Not a single human being on earth gets up and says, boy, I can't wait to go to the supermarket and buy a GMO food. And why is that? That's because after 30 years and hundreds of billions of dollars of public and private investment, they haven't been able to come up with one thing in this food that actually helps the consumer. No better taste, no lower price, no more nutrition, nothing, zip, zero, nada. 85% of all the genetically engineered crops in this country and around the world are designed so you can soak them with weed killers, toxic herbicides. And who are the big companies that do this? Come on, you know who they are. Monsanto, anybody? What? Who else? DuPont, Dow Chemical, Syngenta, Bayer. What kind of companies are these? Chemical companies.
As the chemical seed package has spread, and now with genetically engineered seed that originally was free in India because it belonged to the farmers, or was low cost because it was released from the public sector universities that did seed breeding. In the genetic engineering revolution, these seeds are now patented property of one corporation called Monsanto.
They take genetic material, either DNA or RNA, and insert it using very sophisticated techniques and create an artificial life form, a transgenic species that is impossible to reproduce in nature because the reproductive organs don't match. And as a result, once this form is created, here's the danger. It can cross-pollinate. It can contaminate the traditional crops.
Percy Schmeiser was a farmer in Canada who was contaminated by Monsanto's genetically modified seed. Well, he realized he'd been contaminated because he used some of this herbicide to kill off weeds around utility poles on his property. When he saw some of the seed did not die from the application of glyphosate, he knew it must be genetically modified. Well, he didn't do anything to purge his property of that contaminated seed. It would actually take 3 years of taking your crops out of use before you could completely purge them of the genetically modified seed. He decided he didn't want to do that because that would be costly. So he saved his seed for planting the following year. And Monsanto said, well, you now knew that you had genetically modified seed. You saved it for planting a second year. That's infringement. They sued him for patent infringement. It went all the way up to the Canadian Supreme Court. And although they found that technically he did infringe their patent, they awarded Monsanto no damages.
Both in Canada and the United States, hundreds of farmers have been totally bankrupt, lost their farms and so on through lawsuits by Monsanto. So there's a real fear. Now we call it the new fear, a fear culture amongst farmers, where a corporation now, through the rights of patents on a gene, which is inserted into a seed to make it resistant to a chemical or whatever, is that they lose their rights to use their own seeds or plants. So it's total control eventually that farmers have to go back to a corporation like Monsanto each year to buy their seed because they're no longer allowed to use their own seeds. So as a victim, you basically have to pay for your lawsuit, your damages, and so on. So farmers become victims because they have done nothing wrong because they were contaminated by a neighbor, by whatever means, by pollen flow, by seeds blown in the wind, transportation, and so on. So it doesn't matter how it happens. If you are contaminated, it's over and it's over.
It's inevitable that someone who does not want to use their seed will become contaminated. Even the United States National Organic Program standards acknowledge this when they say you won't lose your organic certification if you're contaminated up to a certain percentage, as long as you take efforts to try to avoid that contamination. Monsanto has said that it's the responsibility of an organic farmer to use large portions of their own property to set up buffer zones to try to decrease the likelihood that they'll be contaminated by their neighbors. But that's quite perverse when it's their seed that's the new entrant into the neighborhood.
In the mid-90s, the UK government gave about $3 million to a scientist to figure out how to test for the safety of GMOs. That scientist was Dr. Arpad Pusztai, the world's leading expert in his field. He worked at the top nutritional research laboratory in the UK, one of the best in the world. He had about 20 or 30 researchers working with him in three different institutes, and his protocols that he was designing were supposed to be implemented into EU law as requirements for the safety assessments of any GMOs to be introduced into Europe. He took a potato that was genetically engineered to produce an insecticide and fed one group of rats the genetically engineered potato. He fed another group of rats natural potatoes, and a third group of rats natural potatoes, plus their meal was spiked with the same insecticide that the GM potato was engineered to produce. So you have GM potato, natural potato, and natural potato plus an insecticide, and all three had a complete and balanced diet as well.
We measured all sorts of things, growth, for example, how these young animals were growing, what happened to their inside, and what happened to their immune system. And it became clear that the GM had a slower growth. It had problems with internal development of its organs, and it certainly knocked out the immune system.
Only the rats that ate the GM potato got sick. They had potentially precancerous cell growth in their digestive tract, smaller brains, livers, and testicles, partial atrophy of the liver, damaged immune system in 10 days. What was the cause of that damage? It was not the insecticide, because the group eating the insecticide did not have the problem. It was understood that it was the process of genetic engineering itself and the unpredicted side effects that caused this profound damage to every system and organ studied. He shared his concerns about GMOs and was a hero for about 2 days at his prestigious institute. The press was going wild. Here was a main scientist who was saying that we should not treat the people as guinea pigs, and that he personally wouldn't eat GMOs from what he understood. The director of his institute received 2 phone calls from the UK Prime Minister's office. The next day, Dr. Arpad Pusztai was fired from his job after 35 years, silenced with threats of a lawsuit. His team was disbanded. They never implemented the protocols. Instead, a campaign was launched to destroy his reputation in order to promote and protect the reputation of biotechnology.
We do have all the methods available for testing the safety of GM crops. It will be unforgiven by humanity.
Monsanto's scientists found bacteria growing in a chemical waste dump near their factory in the presence of Roundup herbicide. Now, Roundup normally kills bacteria. This bacteria was surviving. They said, great, let's put it in the food supply. So they took the gene from the bacterium that allowed it to survive the Roundup and put it into soybeans. And now those Roundup-ready soybeans can be sprayed with Roundup herbicide and they don't die, just all of the other plant biodiversity in the ground dies. The active ingredient in Roundup is called glyphosate. Glyphosate was patented in 1964, not as an herbicide, but as a broad-spectrum chelator. It hugs a lot of different minerals that are needed and does not allow the plants to access them. It also destroys some beneficial microorganisms in the soil, which normally provide nutrients to the plant. It also promotes pathogenic organisms in the soil, which then overrun the plant. And so it creates weaker plants, stronger disease, and the disease does the killing. Now, what do the livestock in the United States eat? They eat largely Roundup-ready crops. Roundup-ready soy, corn, cottonseed, canola mash, sugar beet pulp, and soon alfalfa. So a huge percentage of their food intake is Roundup-ready crops. Now remember, Roundup pulls the nutrients out of the crop. It makes them unavailable. So now we have millions of livestock eating nutrient-deficient food. And what do we eat? We eat plants and we eat animals and take their milk. So it turns out it's a perfect storm now, not just for plant disease, but for animal and human disease. When 44,000 secret FDA memos were made public from a lawsuit about the subject of genetic engineering, the director of the Center for Veterinary Medicine made it absolutely clear that GMOs in animal feed had a unique danger. Toxins can bioaccumulate in animals and in their milk. And so if there were toxins in genetically modified feed, then we might have higher levels of those toxins in the animals that eat the feed or in their milk or other products from those animals.
All our food, 90% of Canadian crops, American crops now are produced by genetic modification, or at least they're contaminated with genetically modified corn, genetically modified soybean, genetically modified everything.
95% of all the genetic modifications are done in order to allow the plants to survive more chemicals being sprayed on them and to allow the animals to survive more drugs being put into them. And of course, what happens is that when their genes are changed, our genes are changed by consuming them, just as the super weeds and the super bugs are genetically altered by consuming them. The bug eats the plant, its genes change. The animal eats the plant, its genes change. We eat the animal or the plant, our genes change. Our baby's genes change, and the change is permanent.
They do not want you to know which products you're buying in the grocery store might contain genetically engineered ingredients. They say that label would confuse consumers. And they say there's no difference between genetically modified foods and non-GMO foods. Well, that's absurd. That's what the word modified means in genetically modified. It is modified, it is different, and it is, in many ways, a threat to the health of the people of our nation and people around the world.
Genetic engineering is a process where scientists take genes from one species and force it into the DNA of other species. Even though there's been very little study on the health dangers, there's been sufficient evidence of harm to cause the American Academy of Environmental Medicine to say all doctors should be prescribed non-GMO diets to everyone. They say that the animal feeding studies link GMOs to reproductive problems, immune system problems, accelerated aging, organ damage, gastrointestinal distress, dysfunctional regulation of cholesterol and insulin, to name a few.
If you take the gene of a cow that helps it to produce milk, that produces a hormone called the bovine growth hormone, and if you take that hormone and you start injecting into the cow, the idea here is then the cow will produce more milk. The companies like Monsanto and Eli Lilly, who invented this hormone independently, and they said there's nothing wrong in doing that because it's substantially the same hormone that the cow produces. That is wrong. Because even if you take natural bovine growth hormone and you give injections of it to cows, then the cows will get sick. Just like if you took human insulin and you started to inject human insulin back to people, they will get insulin shock, they could die. But the cow receiving this hormone will actually be sick. It'll have pus in its milk because it's producing too much milk. The teat canal of the cows will get infected, will have to be treated with antibiotics.
When the Canadians were evaluating bovine growth hormone, the senior scientists there testified before the Senate that Monsanto had offered them a bribe of $1 to $2 million to approve RBGH without further study. They say documents were stolen from a locked file cabinet in the government's office, that they were being pressured to approve the drug, which they thought was of questionable safety. What we have is rigged research, hijacked regulatory agencies, where many people at the agency, at the FDA, that was approving this bovine growth hormone were from Monsanto. Monsanto's former attorney, two former researchers. In fact, Richard Burrows, who was an independent veterinarian working at the FDA, he was fired. He was told he was slowing up the approval process. Well, he sued and was reinstated back at the FDA, but during the trial, his boss admitted that the whole thing was a setup to get him out. He was in the way of the approval of bovine growth hormone.
In the U.S., there's evidence that articles have been published that scientists who do any research on that possibly could be show negative results of genetically engineered crops are harassed. They are denied funds. The universities that depend on industry money are pressured to not allow this or to discourage this kind of research.
Monsanto's own research shows that when rats were fed this BT corn, they had signs of toxicity in the liver and kidneys. When genetically modified soybeans were fed to rodents, we've seen changes in the testicles changing from pink to blue, changes in the sperm cells, changes in the uterus and ovaries, in the DNA functioning of the embryo offspring.
In 2001, a small California biotech company called Epicyte patented a product, patented a gene, which causes both men and women who eat it in the form of any product to produce antibodies to sperm. If the men eat the Epicyte gene, they produce antibodies to their own sperm, rendering them irreversibly sterile. If women eat the Epicyte gene, when they have intercourse, their bodies produce antibodies to the sperm that has been deposited, and they become infertile through the destruction of the sperm. Now, DuPont and Monsanto formed a joint venture purchased the Epicyte firm and, quote, commercialized the Epicyte gene. Do you want to know if the food that you're eating contains the Epicyte gene? Sure you do. How about the food that your children are eating or your grandchildren? Sure you do.
We've seen smaller babies, a death rate that's 5 times that compared to controls. Sterile babies, even babies with hair growing in their mouths. And this has been done by government scientists as well as independent scientists who are at the top of their field.
Pay close attention to what you are about to see. These rats have been fed with transgenic corn during their entire life cycle. The tumors they suffer from are enormous. The study that revealed the effect of the GMOs on the health of these rats has just been completed. It lasted for 2 years.
We spent over a year trying to obtain transgenic corn because no GMO manufacturers were willing to provide them. This is because Monsanto requires contracts to be signed stipulating that the seeds must not be used for testing. We wanted our study to be independent.
Every rat was dissected to identify the way each diet, GMO, GMO and Roundup, and Roundup on its own, had acted on the metabolism of each animal, focusing on the development rate of the tumors that only start to manifest themselves after the initial 3-month period.
Each step up represents a large tumor, which can measure 17 millimeters by 17 millimeters. 94% of them take effect in the mammary glands, which would equate to breast cancer in a woman. We are faced with renal tumors for the males. Some males also suffer from mammary tumors.
One could have thought that the main cause of death was coming from the pesticide added to the corn. But what the study highlighted, and this for the first time ever, is the fact that the transgenesis itself could have killed the rats. What this means is that just by interfering with the genome of the plant in order to modify it, we are faced with repercussions that no one could have anticipated. This is enough to make us reconsider all the scientific precepts that led to the creation of GMOs.
We realized that GMOs without any Roundup residue were responsible for an increase in the death rate of females and of some males. This is the GMO that is being eaten by the Americans, but also the GMO that has been approved for importation by European agencies, and that contaminates our food.
When they allow animals to graze on the cotton plants after harvest in India, for years and years there was no problem. When they introduced this BT toxin-producing cotton, thousands of sheep died, buffalo died, goats died. I've interviewed the people myself, seen pictures of their dead animals. These animals were successfully grazing on non-BT cotton plants for years. In one case, 13 buffalo grazed on BT cotton plants for a single day, and within 3 days, they were all dead. Unfortunately, there's not sufficient follow-up. One small non-governmental organization pleaded with the government in India, please do some research on these animals. The government refused. They pleaded with universities offering to pay for the research themselves. They refused. So this small NGO did their own research. They put 3 sheep in 1 field with BT cotton Bolgard 1, 3 with Bolgard 2, and 3 with non-GM cotton. Within a month, all 6 sheep eating the BT cotton plants died. But 3 eating the non-BT cotton plants had no symptoms. But their research was dismissed because it wasn't a government agency or a university. So we have a situation where the evidence is there, but it's not being paid attention to because it's being drowned out by the big bucks and the biotech industry with their tobacco-type science and their distortion and denial of the facts.
Unfortunately, Monsanto's lobbying power and their financial weight, they are able to use corrupted corporate science, something that I call cigarette science, to get these products slipped into our food stream.
The only human feeding study ever published on GMOs showed that the gene that was inserted into the soybean transferred into the DNA of the bacteria living inside our intestines and continue to produce that protein. So if it happens to be an allergen and you're allergic to it, you may be continuously triggered over and over again by the production of that allergen from within inside your own intestines. When we look at the quality of the nutrients in our soil, we see that that has become actually a victim of industrial agriculture, which destroys the microorganisms in the soil and then puts in a few nutrients as if that were enough to provide a healthy diet. It turns out that the current industrial agricultural model was based on surplus military products after World War II. They had extra bomb-making material that worked as fertilizer, so they created the synthetic fertilizer industry. They had excess nerve gas that they could use as insecticides, so they created an insecticidal industry. And by steering the farmers and the land-grant universities and all the population towards these high-input, corporate-driven agricultural models, we actually stripped away some of the health and some of the nutrients that were vital and are vital to the health of the people and of the livestock.
The plant's ability to absorb nutrients out of the soil is restricted with GMO seeds and plants. And that's why the nutritional value is going down. And that has become a very big concern. And there's a very big concern that many of our foods that we eat, nutritional value contents have to be rechecked because it has changed. It alters the structure of a plant when you put a GMO gene into a plant. So you no longer have the same type of plant and you've changed the makeup.
Monsanto is the only company I know of that doesn't want you to know you're buying something that has their technology inside it. You know, cell phones, computers, automobiles, everything else we purchase, clothing, is branded because everyone wants to know, they want consumers to know that their product is inside whatever you're purchasing. But Monsanto wants that to be a secret. If you go and purchase any of their bags of seed and you look at the back, there's a big, huge box with a big stop sign. And when I first saw this, I thought that meant stop, this seed is dangerous. Don't swallow it, wash your hands after you've touched it. Now, all those health warnings are lower down the bag in smaller font. If you look in the box where the stop sign is, it actually says stop. These seeds are protected by the following patents. Your use of these seeds must be in compliance with the license agreement. You may not save the seeds for replanting, blah, 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 blah. So they object to labeling of food that consumers buy, but they have no problem with labeling their own product with all of their patent numbers. So there's some things that they want the public to know and other things that they don't.
Traditionally, the proponents of genetic engineering have stated that there's relatively no risk or essentially no difference between genetically engineered plants and products and conventionally raised products. Well, new studies dispute this quite widely. There was a study done last year in the journal Reproductive Toxicology that showed that over 93% of genetically engineered toxins were found in the blood of pregnant women and 80% in the fetuses. So this potent crop toxin is being transferred into the population.
Genetically modified soybeans has as much as 7 times the amount of a known allergen compared to non-GM when the two are cooked. With corn, there's a gene that's normally shut off in corn, but it's switched on accidentally in Monsanto's corn, and that gene produces a known allergen. There's also more herbicides used on these genetically modified herbicide-tolerant crops like Roundup Ready soy, and the excessive herbicides might promote allergic-type reactions.
Peer-reviewed studies show that there's an association between heavy GMO consumption and serious health problems, including asthma and food allergies.
There's also a damage to the pancreas and the production of enzymes that are used for digestion in mice that are fed GM soy. If we take longer to digest proteins, then that means eating genetically modified soy might cause us to be reactive to a wide variety of foods, not just to GM soy.
The real risk here, the real concern is that these threats to the food supply are validated. And there is the GE crops are the predominant crops, and they've contaminated the rest of the food supply, then the genie is out of the bottle, and it's maybe physically impossible to turn the situation around.
There has been no long-term research on the concept or consequences of what this genetic modification does, not just to us, but to the environment. And right now, from all the research that's showing up, it says this has a very negative and profound effect on destroying the environment in which we live. So therefore, I find it senseless that the government would support and condone genetically modified foods without even having the basic research to understand the liabilities involved in creating these monster organisms and putting them into our world.
The conversation in Europe and in countries in South America and in Asia is much more sophisticated in terms of its understanding of science, the importance of independent peer-reviewed science that isn't contaminated or corrupted by corporate influence. Here in the United States, you know, the birthplace, the bedrock of the free market system and democracy, we are having our rights corrupted by corporate influence. The major impact that Monsanto has, their ability to get their products approved with minimal scientific oversight and minimal review of these products for human health testing, is really an abomination.
The entire scientific foundation underneath genetically modified organisms is false, because organisms are not genetically determined. And when we understand that, we recognize that the only way to create crops that will benefit humanity is to understand nature herself and learn to live in harmony with it. And this is a completely different approach than humans have had for the last couple hundred years, where we always thought, oh, humans' job was to control and dominate nature. In that process, we are now leading the world into the sixth mass extinction of life on this planet. Five times in the history of this planet, life essentially got wiped out and started all over again. The five previous mass extinctions are attributed to things like comets or asteroids hitting the Earth and destroying the environment. We are now deep into the sixth mass extinction of life on this planet. We are losing species of organisms faster than even in the previous five mass extinctions. But the source of the problem is much closer to home than a comet or an asteroid. Science has recognized that it's human behavior that is undermining the web of life. Rather than trying to control nature, our mission is actually how to learn to live in harmony with nature.
The FDA, which treats the American people as slaves, knows that if people knew the truth about how healing their foods can be and how dangerous the processed foods really are with all their chemical contaminants and their genetic modification, if people knew the truth, they would demand food freedom. They would demand access to healing herbal therapies and healing dietary supplements. They would demand that the FDA back down from its intimidation campaigns that have been leveled against producers of dietary supplements and herbal remedies and raw dairy products and so on. People would demand that if they knew, and that is why they are kept ignorant under this campaign of disinformation currently being waged by the FDA.
I've been vigorous in my opposition of these strategies that these large corporations use to use their influence for their benefit. And as a result of that, my positions, I'm frequently criticized by their own local networks, the skeptic networks and such. And they're also, their ability, because they are so politically connected, to use the federal regulatory agencies to come after me personally, to file claims against, statements against my company, and also to criticize me such that it can be viewed in most of the traditional media to skew the information, the truth of what we're saying. They twist the tables. It looks like we're the bad guys when actually nothing could be further from the truth. We're just seeking to help people understand what the true reality here is here, and give them the tools to make that distinction and give them the right to know.
In the early 2000s, Monsanto, the biotech industry, vilified a scientist for his linking of BT corn to a decrease in monarch populations. 2 years ago, another research paper came out confirming that yes, Monsanto's BT corn and their BT cotton products were actually reducing the habitat of monarch butterflies. Monarch butterflies are the canary in the coal mine on the prairies in the Midwest. of the major impacts, the negative environmental impacts that these products are having.
The large-scale cultivation of GMO crops can harm biodiversity in a number of different ways. One is that in the case where the crop is engineered to be tolerant to a herbicide, such as Roundup or glufosinate, then the application of high doses of these weed killers destroys the weeds upon which other organisms normally would be consuming. So the insect population is reduced, and then there isn't the insect population upon which the birds are also consuming. So there could be a knock-on effect on the biodiversity within the fields where herbicide-tolerant crops are being grown. And indeed, large-scale field trials sponsored by the UK government several years ago now did indeed find that in fields that were growing herbicide-tolerant sugar beet and canola, that the biodiversity in this field was markedly reduced.
There's a lot of information now on bee colony collapse, and it's now linked to certain of the chemicals that are sold by certain of the major companies. So there's a lot of concern now about the bees dying, because now we lose a major insect that pollinates our plants, and so that also has become a big concern. But it's all related; it all goes back to the massive increase of new types of more powerful chemicals, more toxic chemicals than we ever had before, and that's why we have many of our beneficial insects are being killed by these new types of chemicals.
GM carries novel health and environmental risks, which we are now beginning to measure, both in terms of environmental impact and also outcomes in feeding trials, controlled feeding trials in animals, then I feel that the use of GM in agriculture is a risk that is simply not worth taking. GM doesn't address root causes of problems in agriculture. At best, it is a symptomatic cover-up.
No genetically modified crop can grow unless it's attached to some kind of a pesticide. Those pesticides, more and more, are in these plants. They may have killed the weeds. They may have killed the insects. But the product is still on the plants. And if it's washed off, then it's in the water. It gets into the lakes. It gets into the oceans. It's everywhere. And it's toxic. It causes cancer. It also causes endocrine disruption. That's a technical term for change of hormones. They don't even want to label that this is genetically modified. The milk is genetically modified, or the crop is genetically modified. They say, if we label that, we won't be able to sell it because people won't buy it. Of course, people won't buy it because people don't want it.
We have thousands of different varieties of any given food crop you can mention. And by simply dipping in to this already existing reservoir of varieties of crops, resurrecting old crop varieties which have been displaced, could readily meet our food needs without having to resort to the risky procedures associated with GM.
What is an herbicide-resistant crop? It's a crop that you can spray the hell out of it with a toxic chemical and it won't die. It kills everything except that particular crop. And so you have the ability not only to sell the seeds to the farmer, you're going to sell them the companion pesticide. So you get two sales for one, and they're going to have to come back to you every year and get them, because once you start applying these poisons on this scale, your farmland is so devastated that to convert to organic, for example, is economically difficult.
The most comprehensive analysis of GMOs shows that they actually reduce yield. But sustainable technologies, they can increase yield by an average of 79%.
What BT corn does and BT Soy does, and what Roundup Ready does, is it decreases labor. It's labor saving, as if we need less farmers in this country. And we have a limited planet, so more people farming is the key to higher yields, not chemicals.
GMOs are stealing the money away from these more appropriate technologies. We have more food per person than any time in human history. We have enough food grown to feed 11.3 billion people. What we don't have is the ability for people to access that food, and so it's not a silver bullet of increased yield that the biotech industry tries to sell us.
The ISTAD report proved that organic and sustainable agriculture had the same and higher yields than conventional, chemical-intensive, genetically engineered crops. These herbicides are actually having a major impact in killing the beneficial soil microorganisms in the soil, which actually not only add to the yield gains, but also the nutritional value of these plants.
Cotton production has increased in this country because of acreage, not because of the BT technology. Rice and wheat production increased in India because of irrigation acreage. Land and water account for it, not the seed and the chemicals. In fact, the seed and chemicals have created a scarcity. First, the new seeds had to be grown as monoculture, so you had less food. Today, we are importing pulses from Canada, from the United States, very vital to a vegetarian diet. We're not growing pulses because our monocultures have no place for pulses. Pulses give you free protein. Pulses give you free nitrogen fixing. All of that was wiped out. Oil seeds, palm trees, agroforestry. The water use of this so-called Green Revolution was 10 times more compared to equivalent farming systems.
One huge problem with the GMOs is that they have completely blown out conventional breeding in our land-grant colleges. And we only in this country have 10% of the vegetable seeds that were available to our forebears 100 years ago. Our seed stock is going down the toilet, and we can't even use our land-grant colleges to breed in a standard way because there's no money for it. And that is a huge, huge, huge threat to the future of agriculture, to lose the skill of breeding standard, which is in fact what all that food you see on your grocery shelves, all those vegetables came from thousands of years of farmers sharing their seeds.
As a result of the loss of beneficial soil microorganisms, not only have the yields gone down, but there's been a dramatic increase in the rise of crop diseases, which are infecting corn and soybeans in the U.S.
We're sacrificing, our soil just because it's an easier way to farm, and trying to convince ourselves it's more economical, but it's not. I'm seeing neighbors' fields who've been doing this stuff for 15 plus years. They can't get rid of a lot of weeds now. These weeds are getting resistant to the glyphosate herbicide, so farmers are upping rates, more herbicide. And then all of a sudden that's not doing it anymore, so you have to switch herbicides. So now the soil is just more and more and more full of poison. So there's going to be more sickness in that field. It's going to be more susceptible to diseases, insects. It won't make it through drought periods as long. The same crops side by side, right across from each other. The natural plants are going to make more over time. And you have a soil that you continue to poison, nature's going to win. In 2006, Cornell University released a study on soil degradation that stated by the year 2050 that 30% of the land that's already cultivated will be unfarmable.
Now, the thing about Roundup and glyphosate is that it stays in the soil for months or years, and it continues to cause the reduction of available nutrients and the promotion of these diseases. And so people like Dr. Don Huber from Purdue University, have identified more than 40 plant diseases that are on the rise in the U.S. because of the overuse of Roundup and other glyphosate-based herbicides. Now, it pulls these nutrients out of the food supply for months or years. According to Reuters, in 2007, there was about 184 million pounds of glyphosate herbicide used in the United States. Now, that's one of many, many years, hundreds of millions of pounds, which means hundreds of millions of pounds of nutrients have been tied up and taken out of the food supply.
When we have a company like Monsanto that says, I don't care what nature says, I'll create the crops that I want. And we look at what happens. We see another step, another process in our own demise.
This is a very powerful enemy, a classic David versus Goliath challenge. And the only way we have any approach, any possibility of ever winning this thing is if we work together as a cohesive group.
The whole concept of genetically modified organisms is throwing a monkey wrench in the life on this planet. And until we change that, we are heading downhill at a rapid rate of speed toward our own extinction.
Genetically modified organisms are living beings where genetics or DNA of one species is taken out and transported artificially into another organism. And in other words, some sort of genetic manipulation, genetic engineering has occurred. Nature, God if you like, does not permit that. You cannot take the gene of a bacteria and put it into a pig or a people or anything like that, or vice versa.
They've put spider genes into goats in the hopes that they can milk the goat to get spider web protein to make bulletproof vests. They've put cow genes into pigs and made cowhides on those pigs. They had what was called an enviro pig, a pig that would have manure that was less toxic.
They can create these featherless chickens to kind of better live in these tight battery cage, these small barren wire enclosures extending down long rows and often windowless sheds. It can be a million birds in a single shed. How do you do that? Well, without them overheating, where you have this mass ventilation fans. Or another way, you just take off their feathers.
There's a genetically modified salmon that was created by Canadian researchers that was tested up in Canada. They put these frankenfish into tanks and they fed them sufficient food and there was no problem. When they reduced the amount of food, the frankenfish freaked. They started killing and eating their neighbors. So what happens if the FDA approves these frankenfish, and let's say they escape into the ocean? I don't know what's worse, the extinction of natural salmon or the roving of these frankenfish going around and killing and attacking other species and changing the whole ecosystem balance.
They both have a mating advantage because they're larger, but they have a survival disadvantage, and it's that combination that should a male transgenic fish escape into the wild, cause the rapid collapse and extinction of both transgenic and wild fish in as little as 50 generations.
Scientists take genes from one species and force it into the DNA of other species. Now, the process itself creates massive collateral damage in the plant or animal, but they don't test for those changes and the side effects before they introduce, say, the crop into our food supply.
DNA is the inherited material of life. And it is where genes are structured. So we inherit half of our DNA from our mothers and half of our DNA from our fathers. And within the DNA are the genes that encode for all the structures of the body. So the DNA is like a blueprint. Just like an architect has a blueprint for a building, the DNA is the blueprint for all the structures of the body. So when a gene is switched on to function, the information within that gene is being used to manufacture a protein. And that protein is then builds the structure of the body. And then proteins in the form of enzymes carry out all of the chemical reactions of the body that constitute the living organism. When the GM gene is introduced into the plant, the genetic engineer has no control over where the GM gene integrates or splices into the DNA of the plant. And the effect of this is that the GM transformation process as a whole actually is very disruptive on the DNA structure and function of the organism. As a result, very unpredictable and potentially hazardous outcomes. Because if you disturb the balance of gene function, remember, the gene function is controlling the structure and the biochemistry of the organism. If you disrupt the balance of gene function, you disrupt the biochemistry. And if you disrupt the biochemistry, you run the risks of creating novel toxins, novel allergies, as well as a disturbance to nutritional value. These types of outcomes resulting from the disruptive effect of the GM transformation process have been observed, are observable, and they're genuine.
With our understanding of epigenetics, the new science of how environmental signals control our genes, we're introduced into the chemistry of where do the signals come from that select the genes and modify our genetic activity. Well, we used to say everything was due to the genes, but now we find there's a class of molecules called microRNA. They're very small RNA molecules, and they're found in all the cells. And these microRNA molecules are molecules that adjust the reading of our genes. And, well, a new understanding has been found about the microRNA molecules. When we eat food, the microRNA from the food is picked up by the digestive system and not broken down. The microRNA is taken into our own body intact. And now what they followed is the microRNA from food ends up in our own cells, like in our liver and other cells in our body. And these microRNAs still have the same function. They change our genetics and they change our readout of our genome. And the significance is profound. It says when you eat genetically modified foods, we are eating a new class of microRNAs that have never really been in the world before. And yet these microRNAs are picked up by our biology and adjust our own genetics. So in a sense, the old story, we are what we eat, actually now has a biochemical foundation. And then all of a sudden it says, if that's true, then why would you risk your life eating a genetically modified food containing microRNAs that can totally distort our own biology and cause great problems in our lives?
The process of genetic modification is a completely irreversible process. Once it has been carried out, it affects the reproductive cells of the organism. So any effect you have, for good or for bad, is then passed down through the subsequent generations of that particular organism. And that's true for plants and animals, indeed for any genetically modified organism.
And this now has to be understood, because when we eat genetically modified foods, not only does it affect our own cells like that, but we also know that the bacteria in our gut that are required for our survival, we need these bacteria. The bacteria also pick up the genetic engineered genes. And we modified the gut bacteria. And you say, well, why is that relevant? Well, not only do we need the gut bacteria for our survival, but the gut bacteria change our genetics. Information from the bacteria is picked up by the digestive cells and adjusts the digestive system cells to be compatible with the bacteria in our gut. There is a dialogue and a communication. If you alter the genetics of the gut bacteria, by definition, you completely altered the development and genetics of our own cells.
Way back in the 70s, they developed this grand vision of being able to splice in high yield and drought resistance and all sorts of, you know, pest resistance, and they dreamt of patenting those genes and having proprietary ownership of these genes. And during the 80s, that indeed came about from a number of court decisions. They believe they could make billions of dollars from these proprietary gene transfers into to make food do certain things or crops do certain things. When the evidence came out that there were fundamental flaws in the genetics, they just did not want to know. They didn't want to do the research into these issues of food safety. And they went ahead with their development, yet they weren't doing the basic research.
You see, GMOs are the product of an infant science. And now we are feeding that product to the entire population. And it's known to create unpredicted side effects. And no one is testing to see if the rise in all these diseases since GMOs were introduced in the mid-90s is caused or promoted by these GMOs.
If Monsanto's patent on a gene, that if that patented gene gets into any, and I'll use the term, higher life form. So what does that mean? Birds, bees, animals? And the question I have to ask, what about human life? If Monsanto's patent gene gets into you, gets into me, does that say they own me Do they own you? These are all questions that are very, that the courts and our governments will have to address. How far does the patents on genes on life go?
There have been over 140 lawsuits filed by Monsanto against farmers, including against those farmers who wanted nothing to do with Monsanto's genetically modified seed. When you ask Monsanto whether genetically modified seed is natural, they have two answers, yes and no. And it depends on which side of Washington, D.C. they're talking. If they're at the FDA or the USDA, they say genetically modified seed is absolutely no different than natural food. It doesn't need to be tested, doesn't need to be labeled. The public doesn't need to know if their food's been genetically modified because it's no different. Then when they're on the other side of Washington, D.C., at the patent office, and the patent office is saying, well, you don't deserve a patent because your seed is no different than natural food, they say, oh, no, it's not. It's completely different. We've invented something brand new. It's radically different, and it's so inventive we deserve not just one patent, we deserve entire portfolios of dozens and dozens of patents.
Because the United States was the only country in the world, still is, that allowed genetically modified organisms or any organisms to be patented. Up until then, living organisms or their products could not be patented. So the patent for insulin, genetically modified insulin produced in the E. coli bacteria, was given to Eli Lilly. Monsanto got it for RBGH, the bovine growth hormone. I have a book called Corrupt to the Core. In that book, I describe by quoting from a published speech by a Monsanto executive saying how they're going to control the whole world, not just by genetic modification, but they're going to take charge of the whole world by influencing the White House, the White Hall, the French Parliament, and Canadian Parliament, and the Japanese Parliament. This is published information. How are they going to control the whole world?
American people are beginning to become more aware and wake up to the fact that their government has been corrupted by corporations, and the food that they're feeding themselves has possibly serious human health risks.
In the European Union, where labeling is required, there's almost no genetically engineered food on store shelves, in restaurants. There's almost none of it planted.
Today, more than 50 countries around the world allow labeling of genetically engineered foods.
The FDA has received over a million comments from citizens demanding labeling of GMOs. 90% of Americans agree. So why no labeling? I'll give you one reason. The influence and the corruption of the political process by Monsanto.
If you have an organic corn crop that sits next to a genetically engineered corn field, and it happens to tassel at the same time, and it happens to be downwind, you're going to get your crop contaminated. In fact, even the seed stocks are becoming contaminated.
I should have the right to be a conventional farmer. You should have the right to be an organic farmer if you're right. But if we have GMO farmers, you no longer, remember this, you no longer can have an organic farmer. You can no longer be a conventional farmer. You'll become a GMO farmer whether you like it or not.
An expert at air pollution calculated how far corn pollen could travel in 24 hours, which is the maximum time that it can remain viable to cross-pollinate. It could travel under certain weather conditions over 500 miles.
They want the public to sit down and not think about what happened before this piece of meat got on my plate. What happened before this glass of milk sat on the table? We have an ethical responsibility, I believe, not just to other humans and to the future generations. We have an ethical responsibility to all living creatures.
We have increasing numbers of retarded and autistic and genetically damaged people among us. We have increasing numbers of lethal allergies and potentially lethal allergies that coincide with the introduction of genetically modified food. We have increasing amounts of autoimmune problems. We have increasing amounts of pretty much everything. The pharmaceutical industry has no interest in having you well because they don't make any money if you're well. And the pharmaceutical industry is the biotech industry, and it is the agrochemical industry.
Thousands of doctors are now prescribing non-GMO diets to every patient. In fact, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine urges all doctors to do so. They evaluated the animal feeding studies and said that there's a causal relationship between GM feed and disorders. And they urged the government to put a moratorium in place on GMOs and, of course, therefore labeling.
My God, we are the sickest of the major countries in the world, and we're also becoming the dumbest of the major countries in the world. And the significance about that is, what a coincidence. This is the motivation of a government, and this is exactly where we are.
A country like the United States has 20% of its GDP spent on healthcare costs on trying to cure chronic disease. We're giving vaccines in children. We're giving all these other drugs, bad food, pesticides, hormones, everything getting into the system in animals and people. This is going to drive countries bankrupt.
We're talking about people whose lives are either terminated through preventable diseases, which were not prevented, through the toxification of their bodies by toxic food.
Total population of the world is about 7 billion now. They're saying by 2050, the population will grow to approximately 9 billion. And these companies and the governments all over the world are saying the amount of food in the world will have to be increased to twice the amount.
Biotech industry is promising to feed the world with crops that will have higher yields, even though it's not the amount of food right now that's the critical issue. It's access to the food. And access to the food is largely an economic issue.
There's no shortage of food. This is purely due to corruption, because corrupt people in power, won't let poor people have their share.
Now, since GMOs were introduced, there has been a dramatic increase in infertility in the United States. But there's significant evidence, both in laboratory animal feeding studies as well as livestock experience, to point a finger at Roundup-ready crops as a potential cause.
The newest information of a study just published a week ago shows that these toxins in the food have actually been associated with an increased intensity of obesity, and this is found in salmon and rats. And there are other suggestions that they produce long-term imbalances in fertility rates, in hormonal levels, and immune function, and the ability to digest foods.
Big agricultural and chemical companies don't want to label GMOs. What these corporations say is that labeling GMOs will increase our food bills. What I say is if they're so concerned about our bills, then they need to focus on a bigger price tag, and that's our healthcare costs. And we're not just talking about the cost of medications here. How about the cost of missed work and lost productivity when parents have to rush their child to the emergency room or to a doctor's office? And for the children, how about the missed school and summer camp? We're talking about the emotional and societal cost played out over and over again, hundreds of thousands and millions of times over.
So these companies that are promising us to have abundant food, bring prosperity, they're lying, and the governments are with them.
I think if you really want to know the true story about what corporations are doing in our society, about the various harms and dangers that they present, you can't rely on mainstream media. You have to go deeper and you have to go further. That's going to be a very important piece in us moving forward. The fact that we do have those sources of investigation that are not beholden to corporations or corporate media, and that we do have a mechanism in the internet for disseminating them broadly.
We have this sort of common enemy that has allowed the profession, the healthcare professionals and the journalists and a whole variety of individuals and media sources who you wouldn't think would be aligned and typically many of us have disagreements on certain issues, but we've all come together to realize that this is a very powerful enemy, a classic David versus Goliath challenge. And there's the only way we have any approach, any possibility of ever winning this thing is if we work together as a cohesive group.
So what you see is Monsanto genetically contaminating crops, monopolizing seed and destroying biodiversity, turning farmers into serfs through this indebtedness, corrupting government, undermining law and regulatory process, and worst of all, polluting scientific knowledge. They're polluting genetically, they're polluting politically, and they're polluting epistemically. They're even stealing our minds.
Through the food we eat, through the television and programming and the news media we receive, that information alone constitutes what you might call the nocebo information. That negative information about the world is causing us to become sick. The food we eat exacerbates that same problem. We are living in a situation where we must take back our own power.
They can surround the Congress, they can surround the congressional offices back in their district, they can surround the Monsantos and the Citigroups. And that's what they got to realize, that that's the first stage. Because people showing up and massing together with agendas and with good artwork and signs and music scares the hell out of these politicians and their corporate masters.
Let's use the power of government to support what we want, which is to know, have choices.
Stand up that you should have the right, a human right, to grow the foods and crops that you want.
Americans have a right to know if their food is genetically engineered. It's time for labeling. It's time for people to know how their food is being produced.
It is completely pro-capitalist to have things labeled. That's where you know what you're getting. And if the consumer, and the consumer over and over and over again says they want to know. They want to know. They want the choice. But producers are freaked out because the choice is not going to be for them.
You have to start now and not let more contamination exists and more danger to human health and the environment to the massive use of chemicals. So by stopping GMOs and eradicating GMOs, you'd also then stop less chemical use and more danger to the environment. And all of us are very concerned about human health and the environment.
What's going to get your children through this and your grandchildren's generation? What are we handing off to them? What are we passing down to them? If the earth is us and it's our greatest legacy, what are they inheriting?
And if you care about what you put in your body, you'll create as much of your own food supply as you can while you still can. Save seed, grow heirloom foods without any chemicals.
I mean, there's dozens, if not hundreds, of methods and ways that we can go about correcting this and preventing this. But we have to start making those changes now.
It's very important to be an organic farmer for the future of our children and our grandchildren and even ourselves and the food that we eat. Don't give up your rights, our human rights, to this.
If what's important to you is what goes into your body and what your health is now and will be, then you have to become activated.
But to do that, we have to recognize there's a new science, and that new science completely pulls the foundation out under the conventional science of genetics and GMOs. That science is false and destructive. And the wake-up call is knowledge. Knowledge is power. Lack of knowledge, a lack of power. And what this world is suffering from now is a lack of knowledge, because we do have knowledge. We have knowledge that says how we can thrive, live to a ripe old age of over 100 very easily, and enjoy the experience of being on this beautiful planet.
In most Native American cultures, their beliefs or their concepts were based on, will this last for 7 generations? Whereas we're asking, what can get me through this year economically? 1 year, 12 months. That's one of our greatest problems right now, is to leap over that barrier, that mentality.
Globalization has happened. It's here. But its effects have to be reversed. Globalization in a good way, where people learn about each other, people learn about each other's religions, to tolerate each other's spirituality, work together, work in nature, work with God.
Because it's time for us to re-empower our lives.
For 10,000 years, humans grew crops without chemicals. You know, it's time that we get mandatory labeling. It's time we cut down the biotech bullies to size. And then now, let's have that discussion again about chemical agriculture versus organic or traditional agriculture. The overwhelming majority of the public want us to produce food and to raise animals in the natural, healthy, humane way, in a way that doesn't destroy the environment, public health, and the climate. And we're going to get to that point, but it's going to require, as I often put it, the food fight of our lives.
I'm looking at the food that's in the grocery store. They say it's safe, everybody eat more. On second thought, I don't really know.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We're going to go to a commercial break real quick and come back. We've got to talk about this because this is a very, very powerful, and there's some things that I hope that you picked up on. I just want to tell you some things that I picked up on that were very, very important because we are in a war, and the thing is that they're using food as a weapon. You've heard of food as a weapon before, but you've heard it in a different context, not even knowing that they were telling you everything that they were planning to do. And so when we're getting ready to go to this commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Have you thought about getting into podcasting but don't know where to start? Have something to say to the world but don't know how? The popularity of podcasts and internet radio streaming continues to grow with millions of people on the planet gaining internet connectivity through a multitude of devices. In the current media age, people can browse internet radio stations or listen to podcasts right from the dashboard of their cars. There are few barriers to anyone who wants to produce internet-based media. To encourage media production for black people by black people, if you are an independent black media producer or want to become one, the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project is offering unlimited and unmetered podcast hosting services below industry pricing. Need more information about the industry and the technology? Find out how to create internet-based radio broadcasts and or podcasts at www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Again, that's www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. And this video was named The Seeds of Death. I actually posted it inside of Tando. I can't see the board, Scotty, so if someone calls in, please let me know because I had to come pick up, had to do some things while I was listening. So I can't see the board.
All right, so I got you, Brother everyone. Dave. If anybody has a question or comment, just hit *6. And the number one that will signal me and bring you into the broadcast.
Okay, great. Thanks, Scotty. You know, this video with the last one was so telling. And I wanted to play this because these type of documentaries, they're long, but they're so important because there's so much information. This is what I really wanted, what I noticed, and I wanted to bring to your attention. One, food is being used as a weapon. It's being used as a bioweapon against the population of the world. Most of the European countries have kicked out GMO foods for a reason, because the governments that have done actual studies of it can see what it's doing is actual bioterrorism. So they've gotten rid of it, but it's prolific here throughout this country. And this is the thing. Remember the one gentleman said that we are the sickest nation and that we are the dumbest nation. and it has everything to do with the toxic food that we've consumed. Our whole body is toxic now. Why is that so important? That's so important for this reason. You, as a toxified body, you are the perfect slave. They are genetically changing your RNA and your DNA. And when they change your RNA and their DNA, guess what? Because of intellectual properties, guess what? You become the property of the corporation that actually engineered and put into practice the science and the technology and the product that you consumed and changed your DNA and RNA. Let me tell you something, everyone. Labeling, we don't need labeling. It doesn't matter, because that's just like a voting trick, because they'll put anything on the label. The most important thing that you could do is to grow your own food some way, somehow. There is no real excuse. You're going to have to think about ways, individually, collectively, and as a family, on how you're going to do that. You can do that even if you live in a small apartment. There are things that you can do. If it's important to you, you will find a way. And we're going to talk about some of those ways that you can do it, but the onus is going to be upon you. Because I'm going to tell you, as we continue to consume these genetically modified foods, these RNA and DNA altering foods, you're not going to have the capacity to think for yourself. If you notice that autism has been on the rise, I know when Scotty and I were growing up, we weren't seeing autistic children. Then there was a mass explosion of them. Why is that? Because it's the perfect storm. The vaccinations, the pharmaceuticals, the food, and the dead water that we actually consume. All of this is a perfect cocktail for changing your DNA and your RNA.
Brother Dave.
Soon enough. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Can I mention something that they failed to mention that is totally related? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Okay, look up information, people, on Tyrone Hayes. He is a black scientist that was hired by, I don't want to say Monsanto's, but it was one of the herbicide companies that make these pesticides and whatnot, to study this pesticide. And I think it also, they use atrazine, the chemical atrazine, in Roundup and others, stuff that they're using to, dust these crops off with, or get rid of, insects with. His study, which they tried to suppress, showed that chemical causes sexual abnormalities in fish and frogs and other amphibians that were exposed to the chemicals. And other people built upon his research that showed that it has the same effect on human beings. And I believe that, in addition, and let me just say this right now, I don't believe in the mistreatment of any human being based on their sexual orientation, their sexual self-identification, or anything that they're doing. Okay, as long as they're not harming me or any children in the community, then I do not support mistreating them. I don't support discrimination against them. But I do agree with people that there seems to be an increase among homosexuals in certain communities. I do agree that there is also a social programming of that type of behavior done through media, but I believe a whole lot more of it is through biological warfare, and Dr. Tyrone Hayes's work proves that. Thank you, Dave.
No, Scotty, you're absolutely right, because I was just about to bring up that point, and I'm glad you did. Tyrone Hayes is out of Berkeley, and he did a study for a couple of the pesticide and herbicide companies. Scotty is absolutely right. This is what we're seeing with the change of the genetic You remember what happened? You heard it in the documentary. The testicles and the reproductive organs were affected in the mice. They were adversely affected in the mice. This is I totally agree with Scotty, and I totally agree with the brother's findings. I believe myself that this is the advent of the sexual orientation change that has come about. Why is that so important? That's important because of this. A land without men is conquered. A land without women is barren. When you're able to manipulate, they said this in the very beginning of the documentary, they are moving genetically modified seeds for a matter of profit, for business, for their overall survivability as a company. What better way to ensure your survivability when you take away the free will from every person around them and you enslave them? These same companies, Monsanto has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. They have been around and they've participated, like so many other major corporations, in the slave trade. They just splintered off into other companies, but it's the same ideology, it's the same theory, it's the same direction. And what is happening now? We do not need labels. Labels do not save you from anything. The only thing that's going to save you individually, your family, and us collectively is if people start growing their own food with non-hybrid seeds, heirloom seeds, with actual natural seeds while we still can. Because as you already heard, they're spraying everywhere, and I believe a part of the chemtrails is multifaceted. I believe that that's also a part of the genetic modification that's happening with these chemtrails also. These people are wicked. They're totally demonic in their nature. And the thing about it is that because of the poisoning that we have, we are becoming more and more naive. We don't have the mental capacity to really make our own decisions. We are becoming the perfect slaves. Let me say this, and I'm saying this not to offend anyone, but this is the truth. What they want you to do, what they want to do is to change your whole body chemistry, your whole chemical makeup. They want you to be in a state where you no longer work for yourself. You don't care about you. All you care about is working for someone else, and that someone else will be them. This has been going on for a very long time. And they've been doing genetic modification not only in seeds, they've been doing it in animals, they've been doing it on people, they've been doing it on all different things. You know, you wonder why the pig, the P-I-G, a pig, why is a pig used so much in surgery? For third-degree burns, they use the skin. For heart valves and the cardiovascular, they'll use a pig's heart. Why will they use a pig's heart? Because a pig is a close, the human body will not reject it. Not even knowing that pigs were genetically modified, this is where pigs came from. And the science and the history of that has been dutifully recorded throughout history, but has been suppressed among the people because so many people now are you know, God's children to the corporation, saying that, you know, when they come up with their propaganda of conspiracy theories and all of that, there's so many people that are so asinine and asshats that they'll buy it and start repeating the rhetoric and the propaganda of the corporations that are destroying their very lives and their children's lives because they don't have the mental capacity no longer to think for themselves. This is where we are. This is where we're going. And it's so important that we take back our existence. We don't need voting. We don't need going to Congress to tell Congress what, really? We're going to go to the seat of the problem itself and ask them? No. Your life is so precious and so unique and so powerful, you don't have to request anything from anybody. You need to do this for yourself and for your family while you still have the mental capacity to think for yourself. There's a reason why autism is so prevalent now, because it is the perfect slave disease. It's the perfect slave condition. This is why it's so prevalent now and is only going to continue to grow. The actual changing of our genetic makeup has been a part of science for many of years. And now is the perfect time for that to bring itself to full fruition. Because they will never, ever, ever give up slavery. The only way slavery ends is if there are no slaves that are willing to participate. And that has to be you. That has to be me. That has to be us. So this documentary was really, really important because it tells you and introduces you to the overall capabilities of the science now. They're able to wipe out the bees. They're able to wipe out have whole ecosystems go extinct. And the reason why they want those ecosystems to go to extinct, think about it. Because without bees, you have no way to pollinate your food. You have no way to pollinate your food. Now you will be completely dependent upon the very drug that enslaves you. This is what this is all about. This is probably one of the biggest and most important and the most threatening thing to people right now. And we really have to take this serious while we still have the mental capacity to do it. Because believe me, we are becoming dumber and unable to think for ourselves. Not because we're dumb, but because we've been poisoned. And the poison that we have is one that will last for generations. Because they're going to get rid of the total ecosystem that will bring about sustainability. They say that the global population is going to grow and that they'll have, because of their genetically modified foods, they'll be able to feed the people. Because they want to feed them the very drug that will intoxify their body and make them the perfect slave. They don't mind population growing of slaves. They don't want free and independent thinkers and people on this planet. And that war against you and your children is being fought daily. Now it comes to a point to where you have to decide what are you going to do about it while you still can. So important that we get the heirloom seeds, the non-hybrid seeds, and establish gardens. Because as this continues to grow, the genetically modified foods will cross-pollinate into pretty much everything.
Brother Dave, you have a call.
Go ahead.
You have a call. Area code 803. You're on Tando Radio Show. Go ahead with your question or comment for Brother Dave.
Hi, Dave. This is the Davis team.
Hey, Sister Davis, how you doing?
We're good. We're listening. Yeah, I have heard that video before, and there's also one called Genetic Roulette that is similar, and it tells about the all the tumors, the mice, and just the Frankenstein story of how the genetics are just killing us. It's just phenomenal. But one thing that they said in the video, which is really true, even though we will attempt to farm and be able to grow our own, you know, the pollination is in the wind, and the pollination is affecting the bees. That's why the bees are dying. and you know, because the bees are infecting each other plant with their pollination. So it's right. a very wicked story. It's just, it's absolutely horrible, and it's been going on. And like you said earlier, one way that we can tell a genetic food is we can't smell it. And we'll go to, if you go to places like the Walmart and bigger food chains like that, you go into the grocery area where the fruit is, if you can't smell a banana of all things, you know, and pears, especially in plums, it's right. just ridiculous. You smell nothing. It's like the fruit is plastic. You can take it up to your nose and do the biggest sniff, and you smell nothing. But then when you go to a farmer's market, like a open-air farmer's market that might be Thursday and Friday during the week or Saturdays, you smell that fragrance of all the different fruits and vegetables. But because generally they're organically grown. They're grown by usually local farmers. And it's just horrendous that one more generation will never, ever even know what real fruit is or real vegetables are.
Right. Right.
You know, the generation, I know, we have grandchildren, so by the time our granddaughter grows up and has her child, that child will not, unless they live on our farm, they're not going to know what a real fruit or vegetable is.
It's that's so true, Sister Davis. And you know, it's now is the time before the soil is, because the thing about genetically modified seeds is that they also destroy the soil. They also destroy, you know, and through cross pollination, the other crops and everything around them. One of the things that we really need to do is that we need to have a massive. Heirloom and non-GMO seed planting throughout this whole country. And it's really important that, you know, it's something that we can do because our very lives, our very physical lives are at stake in doing this. We have to fight back and push back this progression of the GMO foods before it's completely too late. There are some, yes, there are countries that are banning it, but the thing about the winds, as you already said, Sister Davis, is that once they get in to one area, they start to take over. You know, a country can ban it, but Monsanto is basically, you know, funded by the military. They'll just spray and drop seeds wherever they want and everything else. And it's so important that as individuals, we have to take control of our own destinies and stop relying on these organizations such as government to provide for us what we could do for ourselves.
Well, like you said, Big Pharma is in bed with the farming industry. As a matter of fact, Hillary Clinton is on the board. Half the people in government are on the board. However, they're not getting their fruits and vegetables where we get them. They are getting organically grown, shipped in fruits and vegetables. You don't see big politicians in a regular grocery store squeezing the melons because they don't eat it. They get exclusive food from other sources. You think Queen Elizabeth is not smelling her apples? Of course not. You know, all the elite are getting the real food, and we're getting the plastic food. And what makes it so bad is that once it infiltrates the soil, like you said, when the horses and the animals eat it, even when you buy good fertilizer to put on your food, well, to grow in your garden, you're using fertilizer that's come out through the cow or the horse that ate the genetic foods in the first place. So, you know, it's very difficult to get away from it. And most people don't even read labels to see how much sugar or how much salt is in food, let alone, oh, if it looks good. Because I know on Facebook I had an argument with someone that was saying that, oh, I bought these vegetables and they all went bad in a couple of days, and she thought there was something wrong with it. I said, oh, no, sister, you got it twisted. That's the real fruit. If that apple's been rolling around in your crisper for 2 months, it's not an apple. It only should last a couple of days, but people are so programmed that the longer something lasts, the better it is, so they gravitate to that thinking they're getting more for their money. But all you're getting is more sealed on insecticides, more sealed in genetic foods and vegetables.
Yeah, And, you know, and another thing on that same line, Sister Davis, is that so many people are geared to seedless seedless watermelon seedless.
I think Brother Dave got disconnected. Actually, let me see. Listeners on Black Talk Radio, please hold on. I think we may have gotten disconnected. And we will rejoin them. I'm just waiting on this computer. Let me close that and we'll call in using the flash phone. I apologize for the technical difficulties. I believe Brother Dave was going to be talk about seedless watermelon, seedless grapes, and things of that nature. And the reason that some people believe, and I think it's logical, that they are moving towards distributing seedless foods is so that you won't have seeds to grow food. That's not good. All right, let me see if I can get reconnected. Sometimes we have these problems when we've been broadcasting for hours. So let me get reconnected back to them. They still have about 6 minutes. I have confirmed coming up at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Why You Mad Son Radio, they will be talking about school discipline and a terrorist attack on that young lady in South Carolina.
This service is provided in high definition by freeconferencecallhd.com. Please enter your access code followed by the pound. This menu will repeat. Please enter your access code followed by the pound. This menu will repeat.
All right, it's not wanting to take my code. Let me try it again. It's not registering the code. Start over. Again, apologies for these technical issues. They occur from time to time.
This service is provided in high definition.
There it go.
Access code accepted. This conference is being recorded. Q&A session started.
One time and die. And then that's why Monsanto's wants you to come back to them every season and go back to them and buy more seed. And then it's the same dead seed that doesn't germinate. It's the same thing going around and around. So eventually they will get rid of all the germinating fruits and vegetables, and all they have is plastic fruit.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the whole time.
Hey, man, I want to run something by you real quick because people got to know there's a solution to this. We need to organize on a local level and form co-ops. Take and put our monies in one pool, look for the local farmers that are growing the freshest food, and go out and build relationships with them so that you can purchase as much of their crop in season as possible, then come back and distribute it amongst the co-op. These like-minded people will maintain a healthy, sufficient diet. But will it be adequate in every circumstance because of the variety of fruits and vegetables that are available? Probably not. But don't never surrender. Always understand this. If you have any options, it's always going to be at the local level first, and the organization has to be done by you. Peace.
We got another.
Peace, brother. Great advice. Hey, everyone, that's going to be the end of the show. I just want to thank
Brother
you
Dave.
All for listening.
Brother Dave, yeah. Can you take one more call?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
yes.
And I just want to echo what Brother David said, and I know it sounds cliche, but it's the truth, but surrender should never be an option.
Yeah, nope, it's not an option. Dave, let's bring your caller on. Echo
718, please go ahead with your question or comment.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to make an announcement. I was looking for a radio show because I have a Pentagon whistleblower who wanted to say something, and you could come on Thursday night if you guys have some time.
Okay. Definitely. Yeah,
everything you guys are talking about, Monsanto, we already know. We got the legal paperwork. We're going to be going after them. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thursday would be great, brother.
So can we call in Thursday?
You sure can.
Okay. All right.
Call in. Do you know what time the show starts?
You start at 6 o'clock, right?
Yes, if you could have that person call in right at that time, because I'm pretty sure it's pretty important.
This is big. There's also going to be $1 trillion lawsuit filed against the banking system. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of parameters that that's involved with it, but we'll get more into it.
Okay, great. So we're looking for your call on Thursday.
Can I have this person call you guys? What's a good number to call? So he could schedule, because I don't know what time he is good for him. That's the problem.
Do this, brother. Listen. Have him send an email, admin@blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's admin, as in administrator, @blacktalkradionetwork.com. I will forward the email to Brother Dave so he can work things out.
Okay, so admin, let me write that down. Admin at
blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's the name of our website, blacktalkradionetwork.com, admin@blacktalkradionetwork.com. And make sure you put Tando Radio Show in the subject line so I'll know what it's pertaining to.
Okay, so let me verify that. So it's admin@blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Yes, sir.
And the subject line will be Tando?
Tando.
Okay, Tando. All right, I'll have him email you guys. But this is pretty big. We're like a couple of weeks away from serious change. And I've been involved with it since 2011. That's when I've been involved. But the plan itself goes back to the 1950s. This is pretty big what's going to happen. So,
all right, we looking.
I wish I could get more into it on the phone, but I know you guys are up for time. So.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing from you. Thank you, Brother Dave.
Okay, everyone. Thank you all for listening to Tando, brother. Make sure it's Tando. That's Tando. Tando. All right, everyone. Much love, much respect. God willing, it's not goodbye. We'll see you later. And before you ask for a blessing, make sure you be a blessing. We'll talk to you later.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing. And you know tenderness comes.